It was all about, okay, how am I going to best recover from this setback? And so my goal became, I'm competitive. Don't get me wrong. I am very competitive. I want to win too. But how I was winning was how I was going to be the best recoverer.
What a great sentence too, because you could really get your arms around being the best recoverer, because you know you're going to fail. You know we're going to trip, right? You know things are going to go wrong. And so all you got to do is bounce back.
Welcome to the Spartan Up podcast with Joe DeSena, founder and CEO of Spartan Race.
We are talking about overcoming obstacles. The same way we teach people to get over obstacles on the course, we will teach you here on the Spartan Up podcast to get over obstacles in your mind.
This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Trifecta. Trifecta delivers delicious, macro-balanced meals directly to your door. Use the code Spartan at trifectanutrition.com to save 40% off your first meal plan order.
Joe DeSena, CEO and founder of Spartan. I've got the fortune of having Dr. Haley Perlis, hopefully I said that right, on the show today. She's awesome. She coaches athletes. She coaches Olympians. But she also coaches Fortune 100s. And so, I don't know, Doc, tell us, is what an Olympian does, the way they live, is that the way business people should live?
In some ways, absolutely. But if we could just get right to the biggest difference, that would be just to help people understand that there is one big difference, in my opinion, between sport athletes and us in our corporate and adult lives is sport athletes. And first of all, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. Hi, Joe. But you jumped right in. And so
I go right to it. Listen, the Spartans said very few things, but what they said mattered.
That's true. Well, and I like to think less and more strategically too. So I just took your lead and jumped right in. But going into it, you know, if you think about athletes, they get to train 90% of the time and then they compete 10% of the time. We don't get the luxury of that in our own lives in the business world. We don't get that. We're always performing. So when we can take moments like this to really embrace some training, we really want to make the most of it. So I think that is really one of the biggest differences. And then everything else, yeah, the mental toughness from the neck up. I see so much practical, you know, fluid transition between sports and business.
You know, it's funny is I've done about 800 podcasts. I've written, I don't know, 4 or 5 books now. I got a TV show, and I never really thought about what you just said, which is, you know, an athlete gets to train 90% of the time. So, yeah, that's a huge difference. Whereas in business, we're always performing, and maybe if we're lucky, we get to train 10% of the time, 5% of the time, maybe.
So we have to definitely make the most of it. So we're always competing.
Yeah, my boys wrestle, my girls play soccer, and the coaches there will tell you, like, hey, they can't compete so much, they need to train more. But we do have it flip-flopped in business. At least I get lucky, right? I get to do the podcast where this is, I guess, training for me. I get to do these every week and talk to smart people like yourself.
So turn off, you know, if we're listening to this podcast, I highly recommend we turn off everything else, so we can focus and get the real quality out of your podcast.
And that was a discussion I actually had earlier today with a friend of mine, this idea that, you know, can you really multitask? I'm self-admitted multitask disaster. I got 50 things going on at once. And so I'm not ready to give up my multitasking yet. It's an addiction, I guess. Is it possible to effectively multitask?
I think you might be a better multitasker than maybe the person to your left and to your right, but I do not believe you'll be your best performer. There is no chance and especially depending on what we're talking about. I can walk and talk and do that successfully. And in fact, we encourage people. I know you want to get people off the couch, right? So we want them to walk while they're talking. But to send an email while listening to this podcast and having a conversation with someone to the left, no. Some thought is always in the driver's seat. Some thought and process and task is always the one that we're focusing on more, or we're not able to devote any attention, quality attention to either task at all. So we end up making, in sports, we end up making unforced errors. We'll just use that sport terminology and apply it to business. We say the same thing twice. We make mistakes. So unforced errors, and talk about draining of energy. We're exhausted at the end of it.
It's funny, I was yawning before. Don't tell anybody, but I was yawning before I... Here, this is going to be a funny call. I'm going to multitask for a second. My son, Charlie, my middle son, is calling me, and I always do pick up my family. Let's just see what's going on here. Charlie, what's up? You're on a podcast. What's going on? Did you get done with your job, your first day on the job?
Yeah, and I made $50.
You made $50. And while you were working, were you on your phone?
No.
That's good, because the doctor is suggesting that using your phone while you're working is probably a bad idea. You should focus just on your customers and the product or service that you're delivering.
If you ask him if he thinks cutting weight is a good idea.
So the question Charlie asked, Charlie is a wrestler, and tomorrow night he has to weigh in, and I suspect he's not happy about that right now. And he's probably looking for an out on how he could get, like, a steak dinner or a giant. I doubt he's asking for a salad. He probably wants a couple of power bars or something. And he wants to know, Doc, if that's a good idea, if he should be cutting weight.
Boy, it's so hard as a wrestler. But if you're going to wrestle, you got to have instant gratification. You got to put on the side for long-term satisfaction and have that steak dinner another day, right?
She basically said, put down your fork and get back to work. I'll see you later, Charlie. Bye. All right. So for those listening and watching that don't have their own, you know, doctor available to them like I do, what are the big topics you cover? Like when you're running people through the program, walk me through those topics so maybe we could apply some of it in our own home.
I think most athletes that call me, they want to, obviously, it's because they're afraid of something, whether it's afraid of failure, which is a big one. And I think that's not just for sport, that's for business and life. And well, let me just address that one. I don't think it's possible to just remove all of our fears. In fact, I think some fears is healthy too. It's a great motivator. But I want to help people become mentally tough. And what that means is that we want success more than we fear anything else, which then allows us to take whatever risks we need to take to have that success.
What's up, Marianne?
Sorry to keep bugging you. Perfect time to bring up Alec Kopach.
Secretly, Marianne wants to be the host of the show. So
this is, I kind of wish this whole thing was being, part of me doesn't want you to edit this.
Doctor, that's something you could work on with Marianne on later. fear of not being the host. So I did an interview earlier today. And this athlete came home with gold. And I said, you know, what was it? I was trying to dig deep. Was it the 10,000 hours of training? Was it this? Was that? He said, you know, I just have an unhealthy relationship with losing. I just can't lose. And I thought that was interesting. What do we think about that?
I like it, and I do understand it. But has he won every single competition he has ever been in his entire life?
Of course not.
So he doesn't like it, but he can if he needs to, and then he will move forward to the next. He won't. He's not satisfied with it. He won't settle for it. But like perfection, a perfect score, winning all the time. I don't know anyone that has achieved that. There's a lot of consistent athletes out there, but even those consistent athletes don't win every time. So yes, I understand I don't have a good relationship with losing. And when he has lost, he's still been able to overcome, persevere, be resilient, because then he just got the gold.
Yeah. I would imagine most extremely high performers just don't like to. When I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, you know what I don't like? I don't like letting people down. I don't like anybody saying, oh, you didn't get that done. Right? Which is a form of losing. So I guess I don't like that either.
And that's good. Yesterday, yeah. I was consulting with a graduate student, not an athlete, a graduate student. And it's her first year, and she took an exam and she didn't like her grades. And so she was upset. And I said to her, good. And she's like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, if you came to me and you're in graduate school, you're pursuing a high level education, and if you're not going to be upset, then I'm wondering why you're spending all this money and time and devotion to your career. I want you to be upset when you don't do well, but I don't want you to harp on it and stay there. Let's figure out how to use it to motivate and move forward.
You got to be able to dust off, put your cleats back on, get back on the field. All right. So what's another big topic you cover?
Once you want it more than you fear it, I also think that we need to stop being afraid of the things that we that we fear. And what I mean by that is, it's really difficult for athletes and top performers to talk about their fears, but I actually find it very helpful. So can I share a story?
Of course.
I was working with this motocross athlete. He came to me at 19 years old. He started at 16. So he's a little late coming to the sport. And in 3 years, he had broken 27 bones.
Only 27.
So he came to me on that 27th break. He was doing a backflip on his motor, on his dirt bike, and he broke his tibia. He broke his shin bone and doing a backflip. And it had been 6 weeks. His doctor told him that he could walk again. To him, that meant he could ride again, but he couldn't mentally get on the bike. He was afraid. He was afraid of that 28th break. And he was more frustrated with himself because the backflip is his easiest trick. What's a shin? He's broken his neck, his back. Like, what's a shin? No big deal. So he came to me, and the first thing that we needed to do was accept the fact that he's afraid. And then it wasn't such a big thing. Yeah, I'm afraid. It's a sport that has a lot of high risks. And just being able to talk about it and accepting it, then using his words, it was able to go on mute. It didn't go away, but it was able to go on mute. And when you let go of your fear and accept it and put it on mute, you then have the space in your head to focus on technique and tactics and your strengths to help you land the backflip. And for him, it was pull up on the handlebars. If I pull up on the handlebars, that increases the probability that I will land. We don't guarantee success, but increases the probability. And then pull up, pull up, pull up. 6 months later, he not only pulled up, he landed the backflip, and he was the youngest athlete to qualify for X Games in quarter pipe.
That's awesome. And as you tell that story, I think about my backflip, which is going through COVID for Spartan and being shut down all around the world. And I think you nailed it, because when I started being comfortable with telling people, like, I'm sorry, like, we can't pay your bill right now. Like, I just went through hell. And that's you feel shame in that, right? Like, hey, we run a business. We should be completely financially healthy at all times. But the reality is we shouldn't even exist as a company right now, but we're fighting through. And so once you could vomit that up and tell people and be okay with it, then it becomes easier to get through your days and operate, because otherwise you're like holding that in and, right, that fear of doing the backflip. So I agree with you. Yeah. All right, I'm getting excited. What's next?
So what's next is kind of also going towards this notion of needing to be perfect and demanding perfection and always winning. I've once heard some coaches in a conversation say that the best athlete who stands on top of the podium is not the perfect athlete, but the one who best recovers from mistakes, whether it's their mistake, their teammates' mistake, or whether it's no one's mistake, but there was a setback and we had to recover. And I think we need to take that into business.
I like that a lot. Like, it's just a mere speed bump.
So I don't want to be the perfect sports psychology gal. I mean, I strive for perfection, but as soon as I demand it, oh my God, unnecessary added anxiety that makes me freeze. So in addition to striving for perfection, I'm also wanting to be the best recoverer. Talk about COVID, right? I too lost my entire business, no longer getting up on stage and speaking and nobody having, you know, allocating funds towards this. They need to keep the lights on. But it was all about, okay, how am I going to best recover from this setback? And so my goal became, I'm competitive. Don't get me wrong. I am very competitive. I want to win too. But how I was winning was how I was going to be the best recoverer.
What a great sentence too, because you could really get your arms around being the best recoverer, because you know you're going to fail. You know we're going to trip, right? You know things are going to go wrong. And so all you got to do is bounce back. That's a good one. I like that. I'm going to teach that to the kids tonight when I get home. All right, we're on a roll. What do we got? What's next?
You know, then we talk about confidence. So in sports psychology, it's really about motivation, which I think is what we're talking about here. You know, motivated to be the best recoverer, motivated to strive for perfection, but not demand it. Another one then is obviously confidence. And in the athletes that I work with, and when I say now, it's not just sport athletes. Now it's executive, corporate, wellness. I work a lot in health and wellness as well. Confidence, the confidence that I want to instill or help people develop for themselves, is the unshakable. Not the confidence that comes and goes with the outcome, with the results. I mean, yes, we are outcome oriented. We want the trophy. And that does play a little bit, but not enough to completely ruin my confidence. I want unshakable confidence that's focused on my effort, my perseverance, the ability that I showed up even if I didn't want to, the ability that I was at my edge and I held on until I really couldn't anymore. The confidence in my ability to want to learn, to listen, to my ability to be coachable, that to me is unshakable confidence, and that's what's going to get you to that finish line faster.
How do you gain that confidence?
We'll be right back to this interview, but first, a quick message from Trifecta.
We started Trifecta with a very singular mission, to get America into shape. We were really interested in launching a business that was able to actually directly help people. That happened to be us helping with the chronic disease crisis that's caused by nutrition. We make it with organic ingredients, macro balanced meals, fully biodegradable packaging.
Trifecta's here.
Oh, yeah.
We have an amazing company mission to help get America back into shape.
Use the code Spartan at trifectanutrition.com to save 40% off your first meal plan order. Now back to the interview.
How do you gain that confidence?
Every day, it's not just looking at the scoreboard. Every day, it's not just looking at the bottom line. Every day, it's not just looking about the sales that I made and the sales that I didn't. It's looking at the tactics and techniques that you implemented and developing confidence in your ability to implement the tactics and techniques no matter the outcome. The outcome, I have to trust. It will come eventually. But I want to maintain my confidence that's unshakable in the effort. And I'm not talking about showing up and getting an A for effort, but I'm talking about really developing those tactics, that strategies. What did I do well today? What did I achieve today? Even if I wasn't in an actual competition, even if I didn't make the sale, what did I achieve today? And then what can I do better tomorrow? Because even though we're talking about how to improve, if someone tells me how to improve, that somebody is telling me, I'm telling you how to improve because I believe you can. If I'm not being told how to improve, perhaps it's because people don't think I can. But if I'm receiving feedback, whether it's being told by someone else or me telling myself, it means I believe I can improve, and that's unshakable confidence as well.
I like that one too. I mean, just writing on the wall. I was in somebody's garage. I think I mentioned to you, I mentioned to somebody today. And there were a bunch of slash marks on the wall. And I said, what are those? And they said, those are the 10,000 hours we've spent in this garage training. And so maybe reflecting and looking at those slash marks, if you framed it right, like you just suggested, look, I don't know if I'm going to win or lose, but I know I've done the work, right? I know I can bounce back better than anybody else. Like you start to create that narrative in your head. You can't help but have a good outcome.
Yeah.
Olympian said to me once, look, I don't feel like getting on the bike every day. I got to do, 5 hours a day every day. I don't feel like getting on. And so there are many days where I say, we're just going to do a half hour today. Like you said, some percentage. I'm going to go at it hard. He's going to do a half hour. But he goes, invariably, the half hour turns into an hour, turns into 3 hours. Before you know it, I got the five done. But giving myself an out kind of helps me get going.
But you're right, because you give yourself a little bit of, there's a difference. This is a cool one. You ready for this one? There's a difference between letting yourself off the hook and giving yourself some grace.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. I agree with that. And if you put yourself in an environment around a bunch of people, before you know it, you get sucked up into that energy and you get it done. I was working out early this morning and I was feeling pretty lethargic, pretty old. And there was another guy in the gym that was, I must have been listening to Jane Fonda or Richard Simmons or something, because he was getting after it. He had earphones on and he didn't even know all the sounds he was making, the things he was. And so then that just sucked me up into that energy. And I was like, I'm doing this. So give us one last one. And then we want to find out how to get in touch with you and how to find you.
Sure. I think something else that is really interesting, especially in a world of overstimulation, a lot of people are having difficulties prioritizing, getting stuck in multitasking, as we were talking about earlier, and being able to really have a laser focus. And sometimes it's not just about clearing the physical clutter in your mind. It's really hard to decipher what to focus on. And what we do in sports, you know, take a basketball player about to, you know, throw a free throw, and you've got competitors, teammates, spectators, scoreboard, all that stuff. And in that moment, there is one thing that's relevant. Well, two things: ball, basket, right? And everything else is irrelevant. And I think right now, with all this overstimulation and overwhelm, we forget to take a moment and really assess in this moment what is irrelevant and what is relevant. And then we deem everything else irrelevant, obviously, and focus on what we can control. And an exercise that I do with people that I work with is you can Google it. Just Google concentration grid, and a grid will come up, and it's all a bunch of numbers. The one I have, it starts at 00 to 99, and they're all scrambled. And so people have to go through and as fast as they can find 00, 01, 02, 03, go up in order. And while they're doing that, I try to distract them. But for one time in their experience with me, they get to deem me irrelevant. This is the only time that they get to deem me irrelevant, because I'm going to try to distract them, but they need to focus on the only thing that's relevant, which is the current number they're on. And that's really good practice for performance in any industry, to be able to focus in and put everything else on the irrelevant list.
There's a great book that people listening could check out. It's called The Edison Gene. I forget the author right now, but he argues that ADD, attention deficit disorder, is actually a remnant gene from when we used to be hunter-gatherers. And what he says that's great about that gene, and what hunter-gatherers had to have, was the ability to scan their environment very wide and kind of be all over the place, but then hone in when there was a threat or a deer or whatever it was, and like deem everything else, to your point, irrelevant. And I would say I don't have a lot of talents, but that is one where I can, when I focus, it's annoying, because I get really focused. And when I'm not focused, that's annoying too, because I'm kind of all over the place.
You're all over the place, yeah. Well, thank you for focusing on me and not deeming me irrelevant for the last half an hour or so.
Only Charlie got in the way, but it was good, because he was having a tough time with whether he should eat or not. It is funny. Let's talk about this for a second before we go. I've been on the phone with a lot of smart people like yourself, and I've learned the most effective motive, the thing that motivates us most as human beings, is the avoidance of discomfort, whether it's conscious or subconscious. Like, we want to avoid discomfort at all costs. You don't want to get on the bike. I didn't want to work out this morning. So like, and so we have to use the tricks, like some of the things we talked about, right? Whether it's being surrounded by people that are motivated, whether it's whatever it is, to get us to do the hard things, because by and large, I think all my great memories, anytime I've had any, it's always just doing the thing you don't want to do.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So I agree with you. Avoid pain or seek pleasure. Those are really our two basic motivators, right? And we have to focus on one, which is, at the very beginning, we talked about wanting success more than we fear anything else. And I think that's, you just hit, you know, pinned it. That's really what it is. The fear is not wanting to go through have the pain and the discomfort. And the win is the pleasure. But here's also the other thing. So definitely we have to choose which one. We have to make a choice. Are we going to seek pleasure or avoid pain? But then the other thing is that the understanding that pain is part of it. Like, there's a lot of good in pleasure. So where can we find pleasure in pain? You know, what are we going to prove to yourself? What are we going to overcome? That's where I use a whole lot of visualization. So I know you, when you were in Vermont, or are you still there? But I learned all about you hiking. I mean, to me, my motto is right, left, right, left. And when I feel that pain, I start talking to my body. Like, this actually means that I'm growing. This means that I'm getting somewhere. This is the good stuff. So we need to reframe that discomfort and pain in order for us to seek pleasure.
And reframe is a great word. I call change your frame of reference. Like, someplace I'll go, and I'll suggest a bunch of people go when they're having a tough time, whatever. Maybe they're dealing with, like Charlie, he hasn't eaten since noon, or right, or somebody that doesn't have Wi-Fi on an airplane for a 3-hour flight. And so where my mind goes is like, could be in Siberia, right? Could be missing, God forbid, two legs. Could be dead. all those things are worse than whatever I'm, it's always worse. But if I ever can't get to worse, I say I could be dead. And that's worse than wherever you are.
And then you're talking right? Relative. Yeah.
So I'm with you. How do people find you?
Website is the best place because when they go there, they can opt in and then communicate with me. So it's Dr., just Dr., and then Haley, Haley, Perlus, Perlus.com. Best place. They can access everything from there.
You're awesome. Thanks for coming. And I'm smarter. Thanks to you.
Thanks, Joe. Thank you for having me.
Do you know someone who needs a little help staying motivated, staying informed, getting or staying mentally and physically resilient? We're here 3 days every week with a mix of content to help you stay strong. From mindset to nutrition and everything in between. Listen every Tuesday to hear Joe DeSena, Spartan Race founder and CEO. And the rest of the week, join us for DECA, Endurance, and Classic episodes. See you next time. This episode of Spartan Up is brought to you by Trifecta. Trifecta delivers delicious, macro-balanced meals directly to your door. Use the code SPARTAN at TrifectaNutrition.com to save 40% off your first meal plan order.